Voices Radio Network.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Thanks for being here with me. Great to talk to you as always. We are just a week past the Olympia now. Pretty interesting. New Mr. Olympia, Sean Roden. We talked about that last week on Blood, Sweat, and Gear, but we didn't have an episode of Advices Radio. I'm not sure if you noticed or not, but I did not release one. And the reason is, it's just because, you know, I had been busy with traveling. I hadn't gone out to North Americans and then to the Olympia. Things were kind of back to back. And there was a lot of excitement, a lot of energy. And listen, I'm grateful to be back. I'm grateful to be back in the studio and recording shows. I've got a couple small interviews today that we're going to cover. And from there, we're just going to build. So I'll call this my rebuilding week. And it's only going to continue to improve from here. So this week, we have Eric Markowitz. He will start the day out. We've got a 30-minute interview about myostatin inhibition and the supplements that he suggests to achieve that. After that, we've got Ryan Muzel. He is going to speak to us about dieting on the cheap. He put the spreadsheet together and figured out a $10 a day diet plan. And listen, for a lot of you older guys and gals out there who've been doing this a while, yeah, you've got your budget figured out, but it doesn't hurt to think about the choices we make and save some money where we can. So maybe this will be a refresher course for you. And for all you newer guys and gals out there, this will be possibly a lesson, give you some ideas about how you can actually make your diet work if you're a student or you aren't making a lot of money, because hey, the sport isn't cheap. And, you know, it's tough to be able to afford all your food and still be able to buy supplements and your Gymshark tank top. And listening to this, you might actually be able to achieve all those things and still run a cycle on top of that. So we are going to talk about the food choices you could make, as well as give some suggestions on a little bit of food prep talk in there too. Guys, once again, thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening to Advices Radio. We've got a couple new programs that will be coming out here soon, so stay tuned for that. Of course, later in the week, you will hear Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson and myself. We're going to talk about having been at the Olympia, as well as a bunch of other cool stuff. Hope everybody is following their diets to a T and getting the results that they're looking for. If not, maybe you should question what's going on. Or if you're not following it, maybe question your level of commitment. All right, guys, enough of me rambling. Let's get to the program. All right, guys, and back with me on the microphone today, Eric Markowitz. Thank you for being here with me, brother. How you been?
I'm good. Just hitting the gym pretty good and trading a lot of stocks, man. The stock market is absolutely crazy. It's up and down and mostly up.
I saw a little while ago you did pretty well with the cryptocurrency when things were booming with that.
I did for a little bit, but then it all crashed. And so, lost all of it. So, you know, I did well for a short time, but,
we all did for a short time, right?
Yeah, it'll all probably come back one day, but right now it's in the tank.
I agree. I'm going to hang in there too, though. So, so what's on the plate for today?
Well, today I figured we'd talk about myostatin. So we had a bunch of people, you know, message me and comment that they wanted to hear about myostatin. And I think it's a great topic. I think I alluded to the fact that trying to get high tech to make an LG Sciences myostatin product. So I don't own that company anymore, but you know, I think it's a really good supplement. I'd like to take it myself, and you know, it would be something I think that would be good for the community. I don't think there's a real effective product out there at this point. And you know, I did my own research and did my own sort of personal testing with myostatin, and I think there's some serious benefits to it. And some liabilities, some of the things I'm going to go through today. But you know, but it's pretty cool. It's cool stuff. It's again, it's all meant to take you, you know, next level, push you a little bit further, get you the faster results that you want. So I don't know how familiar you are with it, but myostatin basically and follistatin are two proteins that regulate muscle cells. I'll try not to get too sciencey, but they seem to work on a few different pathways within muscle cells. They're not heavily expressed in the heart, so they're reasonably safe when it comes to, you know, heart enlargement, which is probably one of the more dangerous things for bodybuilders. Although there was an interesting study, just as a side note, that was just published that about 700 milligrams every 3 days, so like twice a week, basically 2.5 times a week, of grapeseed extract. So 700 milligrams of grapeseed extract completely reversed all the cardiovascular damage from equipoise, from boldenone.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they did it in rats, obviously, but really interesting study. I mean, that's a fairly modest dose when you consider it's a high dose of grapeseed, but it's modest as far as the dosing schedule, right? Only a couple times a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty interesting. So, you know, we all want to be safe and we all want to be healthy. So, you know, I definitely, you know, want to live a long time and spend, so hopefully spend that cryptocurrency money if it goes back to
right.
So I got to take a vacation. But, you know, so myostatin, what it does is it seems to work on multiple pathways. One of the things it does is it reduces transcription. So transcription, if you look at how the muscle cell basically, you know, builds up, transcription takes the, you know, takes the protein and makes a copy of it and then sends that copy down to, you know, the cell, who then actually builds up multiple copies of that protein and builds muscle fibers with it. So transcription is one key step, probably the main step in building muscle. Not the only step. I mean, there's other steps that are, they're equally important, but really if you increase transcription, you tend to increase, you know, muscle density and muscle growth within the cell. So it seems to inhibit transcription. Follistatin seems to really not promote transcription as much as it just blocks the effects of myostatin. Hmm. So those two things work in concert to try to balance the body. And so you don't build too much muscle, right? So the body doesn't want you carrying all this extra muscle mass around, because it's got to feed it and it's got to give it water and it's got to, you know, keep it alive. Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of something that is counter to survival. So that's why it fights us so much.
Okay.
So, okay, if you look at myostatin, I mean, a little bit of the history of it, you know, it was kind of found by noticing that there are, you know, those bulls that everyone sees, the pictures of these bulls, and I'll put it in the article, where basically these bulls had no myostatin gene, so they couldn't create myostatin. And they just created massive amounts of muscle. So they just look like these super freak bulls. And there's all sorts of it.
They look like they're on some sort of crazy steroids or something, is what I would have first assumed seeing those things, right?
Yeah, they look like they've been Photoshopped, right? I mean, like, they're just not even realistic looking. Yeah. So now, okay, so the real, you know, theory when it first came to light that these things were out there was, hey, we could all take a myostatin inhibitor and we'd get just as big as these bulls. And I'm here to tell you that that's not quite the case. Doesn't really work that way unless you want to give your, you know, myostatin inhibitor to your 5-year-old. You're not really going to be seeing those kinds of results from taking a myostatin inhibitor. But you can see some pretty good long-lasting results, which we'll talk about. So, you know, that's one of the things. It does increase muscle mass. It does increase long-term muscle gains by increasing cell differentiation, which is basically there's really two ways to build muscle. The first way is by filling up the muscle cells that you already have. And the other one is creating new muscle cells out of basically satellite cells. Okay. And steroids work at creating both of those. Myostatin works at helping create both of those. So, you know, you get this immediate sort of muscle building effect, but, you know, you've seen guys that get, you know, really big for 2-3 weeks and then fall apart. That's because what you're seeing there is the effect of building up the muscle fibers as opposed to making new muscle cells. Hmm. So when I wrote my first book, it was all about, hey, how do we create long-term, with supplementation, long-term growth and long-term genetic, if you want to call it, changes by increasing the amount of muscle tissue? So, you know, it's just like a you know, really heavy person, right? Who was John Popper, right? Had the gastric bypass, right? And so he's super thin now. Well, arguably, he's got almost all the same amount of fat cells. They're just not filled with fat anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
if he took off that, you know, that gastric bypass, he'd blow back up to 500 pounds or whatever he was.
Yeah.
Where you don't have those fat cells. It would take you years to get that heavy, right? It would probably take you 10, 15 years to get that fat. I mean, if you ate, even you might not even be able to, but if, you know, you ate donuts every day and, you know, Twinkies and everything else. So what we want to do is look at how do we use this stuff fairly long term, because, you know, the goal is to not have to work so hard when you get to be old guys like me and you, right? You don't want to put 5-6 hours in the gym and you don't have time and all that other stuff. And it actually, I will say, for me, the theory has worked. I mean, I carry far more muscle. I don't work out nearly as hard, and we're going to talk about that. And so even when I take, you know, because I'm a human being and I've had problems in life and things that I've had to deal with, and sometimes I'll take 2-3 months off. But I don't lose the amount of mass that an average person would lose because I believe that I've been taking supplements that are increasing the amount of muscle tissue, the muscle fibers themselves. I'm sorry, not the fibers, the actual muscle cells themselves. And, you know, so that's kind of the holy grail. And that's why supplementation long term is a healthy and good thing. So, that, you know, that's kind of a little background on myostatin and sort of how it works and, you know, really what you can do with it. It's not a quick fix. I mean, you might see some immediate gains with it, but it's something that you want to use long term to help increase kind of recruitment of muscle cells and building muscle mass long term.
Okay, and that makes total sense to me. And this sounds a little bit more of something I could get behind, because what I was going to tell you is, you know, we had talked a little bit about follistatin in the past, and what I had seen people say, you know, the experiences just weren't great. Nobody ever got like a lot out of it. Nobody ever came out looking like one of those blue bulls. And I've honestly just kind of had like kind of like a pessimistic viewpoint of it. But the way you're painting it now, I feel like if we could play with myostatin, that this sounds a little bit more realistic. It's not that you're going to turn into Big Ramy overnight, basically, but that long term, this could possibly be a tool. So you've got me at this point. I'm feeling a little bit more open minded, Eric.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's not the, you know, the miracle supplement. And I think the reason why follistatin doesn't work, well, we talked about it, you know, briefly, but it's possible that there's junk follistatin on the market. You know, I tried it. It did absolutely nothing for me. I didn't have any success or any results with it at all. It's possible that it's, you know, not that good. It also could be possible that follistatin really only works in that one specific receptor. So that's the activin type 2 receptor to a significant degree. So, you know, just because you're taking follistatin, you know, follistatin isn't necessarily a growth promoter per se, from what I can tell. It's more so that it's inhibiting the effects of myostatin. But myostatin is active in a lot of different areas. And so you may find that follistatin isn't doing the job in those other areas as effectively.
That makes sense.
It would only be effective in that one area, possibly, you know, at those kinds of doses. Whereas, you know, if myostatin's not around, it can't do its job, right? It can't do its job to tear down muscle tissue in other areas or inhibit muscle growth. So let's talk about the supplements that are out there, because there are actually some really good supplements out for inhibiting myostatin. You know, the original ones were these things called green lip muscle extract. So that was the first myostatin inhibitor to hit the market. I've never seen any data whatsoever that substantiates the fact that this green lip muscle extract did anything. So it's really interesting. I mean, I searched PubMed and I looked all through the literature and I never found a single piece of research even talking about anything to do with the green lip muscles in myostatin. So I don't know if that was completely made up or not, but this was, I think it came out in the 90s, basically. So, you know, it was kind of the holy grail, and this huge marketing campaign, and they licensed it out to a bunch of people. I think it was called MyoZap CS3 or something like that. And, you know, you had this entire generation of people just completely soured on myostatin. You probably remember it, Scott, because you were, you know, you're a little older than, you know, like I am. But
I don't actually, but I'm, you know, I'm fascinated though.
Yeah, so the whole thing is it kind of just died, because realistically, I mean, it was such a failure and seemed like such a complete waste of money. I mean, people got absolutely no results from it. And it was one of the most popular supplements for, you know, 6-8 months until everyone was like, okay, this stuff is garbage. That myostatin kind of took a backseat to everything. It just sort of just went underground again and no one paid any attention to it until really what kind of, you know, spawned sort of a renewed interest is epicatechin, or epicatechin, depending on how you pronounce it. which is found in chocolate and green tea. Hmm. Okay. And that is, you know, is basically, you know, a component of these two plants. And it was found to inhibit myostatin and actually produce muscle growth. And they did it in rats and they found that they had an effect. So it had some data behind it, had some science and it had some testing. And there were some pretty good tests. I think they even did a small study in humans and saw a positive effect. Now, they did it and extracted it from chocolate. And so this is one of the things that, you know, I really caution people on. And one of the things that I don't really think most people understand. When you're looking at plant extracts, typically they are going to have a counterbalance in there. So just like follistatin and myostatin provide that counterbalance, epicatechin probably has a counterbalance of sorts as well.
Interesting.
So, and, you know, different plants have different levels. But green tea has a ton of these polyphenols in there. And so if you look at – I always look at soy as a real good example of this. So genistein in soy is extremely potent estrogen. It actually acts on the ER beta, so it's very similar to tamoxifen, to to the prescription. And the reason why you don't take soy and have these great effects of reducing estrogen is all the other flavones in soy counteract that effect. So there are ones in there that are extraordinarily weak estrogens, but still bind to the receptor. So here's the thing: soy doesn't want you as a plant eating it and not being able to reproduce, right? It doesn't want that because it wants you to reproduce and spread the seeds and do all the thing that soy wants. So it's going to have a counterbalance in there. It's not just going to give you the one thing that you're looking for as a bodybuilder. And so I really feel that green tea is one of the worst sources. And a lot of people are starting to try to use green tea instead of the cocoa extract. And, you know, cocoa seems to have less of these things in there. And that's probably because cocoa, you know, is meant to... You know, it's got a different function. Okay. So, you know, so if you look at that kind of stuff, you have to think that, you know, taking this from the right, so this polyphenol from the right source is much more important than just slamming down as much as you can. You know, and I don't think you're going to be able to eat enough chocolate to actually make it worthwhile. But it really does have an effect. It does work. I don't think that it's significant enough on its own to warrant spending all the money on it. I mean, it was really popular for a while. But it does have one other neat function, is that I found that when you take this along with prohormones, it upregulates the enzymes that convert your prohormones into active steroids. So when I formulated the LG stuff for high tech, I actually put epicatechin within their products to help increase the conversion, not for its myostatin effects. But epicatechin, it's a good baseline, so it's a good place to get started. And the dose that's really good is about 300 milligrams a day. It's relatively expensive, but, you know, it is what it is, right? This is our hobby. This is what we do, and we spend money on this stuff. So so that's out there, and that really renewed the interest in myostatin, and people went crazy and started taking it. And then, of course, like everything, it didn't work as promised, and they sort of just, you know, lost interest, right? So... you know, unless it's steroids or stimulants, people, you know, just don't have the heart to put in the time to have, you know, 90% of it, right? They just don't want to, you know, get in there for the long haul. But as you know, building muscle, I mean, you train people, right? It's not going to happen in 2 weeks or a month. You've got to give it, you know, 6 months to see a real nice effect. And then if you want to, you know, change weight classes, for example, you're going to need years possibly.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So creatine itself is another natural myostatin inhibitor, probably not a very strong one, but does inhibit myostatin. So creatine is good to take along with this stack. Interesting study just came out about creatine monohydrate versus creatine HCL. I don't know. Did you read it or have you heard about it at all?
No, I haven't heard about this.
So creatine HCL is really interesting because it came out and I was so frustrated because it is more soluble in water, okay? Creatine monohydrate doesn't dissolve well in water. If you remember the old days, it would sit at the bottom and you'd have to mix it up before it was microwaved.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know, back in the old days, they were you know, little granules like sugar. And, you know, it wasn't micronized like it is now. So, you know, it didn't mix very well. Well, if you look at creatine HCL, it goes right into water because hydrochlorides go right into water. So these salts, just like table salt, goes right into water easily. Well, here's the thing. What they found was is that by dosing creatine HCL high enough, at 5 grams per day, it actually outperformed creatine monohydrate in both muscle gains and fat loss.
No kidding.
Yeah. So here's the problem, though. Most creatine HCL on the market is dosed at 500 milligrams. So you're like, oh, well, it's more soluble in water. So it's got to be more effective. So you can microdose it.
Hmm.
And that's completely untrue. It just was, you know, I believe a total, you know, farce. And so a bunch of people use creatine HCL at a, you know, extremely low dose. And, you know, it didn't taste bad because there wasn't that much in there. And so because creatine HCL just tastes like, you know, death. But, you know, that's just really sour, right? It's hydrochloric acid. But the nice thing about it is that if you take a 5 gram dose of creatine HCL, they're looking at I think it was a 3 pound fat loss and a 5 pound muscle gain within a month.
You're kidding me. Wow.
No, just straight up taking 5 grams of creatine HCL a day.
Hmm.
So if you can choke it down, creatine HCL is definitely a good supplement. Does inhibit myostatin again. So remember what I'm trying to do when I build supplementation, I do things a lot differently. I build upon and stack. Stacking is extremely useful.
Okay.
Because the honest truth is we don't really know what this stuff does on all different areas in all different tissues.
Hmm.
So it definitely, you know, is likely that these things have different effects or different strengths in different tissues, right? They don't measure these tissues. So they don't go and find all the different types of, you know, muscle cells and muscle, you know, density and, you know, test the tissues from 5 different parts of the body. They just don't do that. So, you know, one of the things that I've really specialized in is different tissues have different levels of growth, different levels of receptor activity, different levels of cofactors in there. No one really wants to see this. They want to treat us as one big vanilla, you know, paper that we're all just, you know, equal across the board. And that's just not the case. So, you know, you'd have some people that their legs just won't grow, right?
Yeah.
Or their arms. And you're like, well, why not? So, you know, who knows, right? For them, certain things in those tissues are not as active in others.
So interesting.
Maybe you don't know why. So
interesting.
So that's why I'm a big fan of stacking these things and making sure that we hit this from every, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. You know, let's make sure that we, you know, we're investing the money. Let's do it right. And let's make sure that we hit every different possible, you know, variable that we can. So, so creatine is a good one. You know, everyone likes creatine. It's a good baseline supplement. I think a lot of people don't take the right amount of creatine. You know, these stupid, you know, ultra concentrates, which have 1 gram of creatine, it basically does nothing. So in a nutshell, what they found in the study is that if you don't take 5 grams, it's not doing anything for you.
Okay. Is there an outside limit too? If 5 is a good place, is 10 too much, or what are your
thoughts? Yeah, let's not go crazy. I mean, I read a study of a guy. Well, it was just a report of a guy that was taking 100 grams a day of creatine. His muscles shut down, and he ended up in the hospital.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So yeah, you can definitely overdo it. Anywhere from 5 to 20 is the max, but 5 to probably 12 grams a day is the most. And then, you know, like anything, after, you know, 2 to 3 months, you should stop for a while and let your body recover. So,
okay.
So the next two things that we grouped together are HMB and leucine. So we know those as muscle promoting, right? So they will also reduce myostatin. So you take your BCAAs or take your HMB. HMB is found to be more effective in leucine than leucine in older people, which is why they're putting in Ensure and things like that. So remember what we talked about is, you know, if you look at, you know, if you gave your 5-year-old this stuff, they would blow up like that bull because they've got all this cellular differentiation going on. Right. And so what's happening is your body is building. Right. So it's saying we're laying down muscle cells. Well, that would be the perfect time to give yourself a myostatin inhibitor. But no one's going to be crazy enough to give it to their kid. Right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, I remember there were kids in grade school where their dads were into working out, and they started them working out young, and those kids were massive all the way through high school. I don't know if you ever knew any guys like that.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. There's always that one freak, right?
Yeah. And a lot of times it's because their dad was making them do push-ups when they were 8. So, you know, and so your body's like, holy shit. You know, sorry, I swear, but holy shit, we got to take, you know, this guy's in for the long haul, man. This is a tough life. We better build some mass on this guy, right? He's got a tough life. So you're not going to get that same effect as an older person. So depending on your age, if you're young, you can buy cheap leucine. If you're older, take HMB probably. because that's going to give you a better effect. There's a couple different versions of HMB out now. It's debatable which one's better. There's a HCL HMB, and then there's a, you know, standard HMB monohydrate or calcium HMB, but neither here nor there. You know, those two things are certainly good as well. A supplement that I brought to market for the first time was lactate. And I don't know if I went through that with you ever, but everyone thinks that lactic acid is what causes the muscle burn. And that's just not true. They found that that's absolutely not the case whatsoever. It looks like it's pyruvic acid, actually, if memory serves me correctly. And what happens is then this pyruvic acid throws off lactic acid, which then throws off lactate, okay? Lactate then goes into the bloodstream, and it's a signaling molecule that says to the body, hey, you just had a really tough workout, right? A really tough session. Remember, we're supposed to be running away from, you know, lions, right? You just ran away from this lion and had to climb a mountain and you know, fight off the neighboring villages. So here's all this lactate in the bloodstream. So what it does, it's amazing stuff, and it's very inexpensive. It then tells the body, start releasing all these cofactors. So increases it testosterone, it inhibits myostatin, increases growth hormone release, because it's saying you just had a really hard workout. So by taking a lactate supplement, you can actually simulate having a really tough workout, even when you're not working out. So calcium lactate is inexpensive. I use it in our Rise and Swell product because it's such a great product for boosting testosterone and just in general building muscle. But calcium lactate is cheap. You can take a calcium lactate supplement. I take 3 to 4 grams to see an effect. So don't take, you know, a 500 milligram tablet and think you're going to get anything. But also be very careful, because a lot of people will take cheap calcium carbonate and throw it in with calcium lactate, you know, and cheapen the product up. I see that a lot now. It's really kind of disappointing. So they'll advertise something as, you know, pure on the label, and then you get it and it's mixed with a bunch of cheap stuff to bring the cost down. I just had that happen. I am furious because I'm making a hair loss product to help people who are bald regrow hair.
I've actually had a few people reach out to me, Eric, and tell me they are interested in that hair loss product. So when you do get that to market, please let me know, because there are people that want to give it a try.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think it's going to be a kit. So it's going to be a shampoo. It's going to be a topical when you're done showering to kind of help. It'll also style your hair. I haven't decided to make a hair gel out of it or not. And then you're going to have, basically some stimulation with it as well. So we want to be able to stimulate those follicles. But anyway, so neither here nor there. So I ordered this. I ordered genistein, which I was telling you about, is a phytoestrogen, which when I release the product, I'll go into why. But when I got it, it was just cheap soy protein. It's literally soy protein. They sold me soy isolate and said it was this particular flavor. So I mean, of course, I'm furious, right? I mean, I can't use that. You know, no one wants soy protein in their hair.
right.
Oh, so, you know. So, yeah, you really got to watch some of these companies. So the next one is broccoli extract. You can either eat a ton of broccoli, which is good for you, of course. But the extract sulforaphane, which is in broccoli, also inhibits myostatin to a pretty great degree. So this extract of broccoli, it's quite good for you. It reduces estrogen. That's what you're going to notice. A lot of these things have multiple functions. So it's interesting to see that. So sulforaphane out of broccoli and broccoli extract helps inhibit myostatin as well. Another herb that inhibits myostatin is schizandra. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's an adaptogen.
No.
But it also has a myostatin inhibiting effect. Both these things pretty inexpensive. So most of the stuff that I'm telling you is actually pretty cheap, except for the epicatechin. I mean, that thing is, kind of expensive, $35-$40 for a bottle, but everything else is really inexpensive. I mean, you can get, bulk supplements if you want, or hopefully if Hi-Tech ever brings out the formula, you can get them in pretty precise ratios when I formulate it for him. But schizandra is another great one. It's good for you. Like I said, it's an adaptogen. It does all kinds of cool things, but it also helps inhibit myostatin. Nice. NO boosters. I wrote this in my book originally. I didn't know exactly why, but if you look at NO boosting, even if you don't have a physiological effect within the artery, so I'm not really a big fan or belief in the that NO boosters open up the arteries and you get more blood vessel, you know, more blood to the muscles and all that other bullshit. I just don't believe that, by the way. I don't think that matters, quite frankly. I think that there's far more effective ways of increasing muscle size than increasing, you know, the size of your arteries. Right. To me, it just makes no sense. But NO is kind of an interesting molecule. It does all. So again, here's another thing about NO that's really interesting. It's a signaling molecule. Don't know why it does this exactly, but NO actually reduces testosterone. So I can send you some studies, or I'll put it in the article when I post it up. It's you know, NO has been shown in all sorts of animals to reduce testicular function and testicular production of testosterone. So, you know, maybe a good idea if you're going to add an NO booster in there to have a test booster in there as well, because it signals the body somehow to lower testosterone production. Not exactly sure why, but it does. And if I thought about it, I probably could figure it out. But, you know, the standard NO boosters would work, right? Citrulline malate, arginine, you know, nitrate salts. Beetroot is probably one of the best ones, just to take beetroot extract. Agmatine is good. I mean, probably the best, if I was to give a recommendation, would be combined citrulline malate, beetroot extract, and agmatine.
Okay.
But arginine is really good for you as well. So arginine does similar things to what leucine does. So arginine has a nice effect on muscle building. So, but NO boosting can certainly help with myostatin inhibition as well. And, you know, again, so most people are taking this stuff anyway, so it's something to throw in there. A couple commercial products that are on the market, MHP's MyoX. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. Did you ever see that?
No, I haven't. I haven't. But once again, like I said, I haven't paid much attention to you know, any of the products that are on the market for this, just because I haven't really given it a fair shake.
Well, okay. So really neat guy. I don't know him personally. Dr. Carlton Kolker. He, you may have heard of him. He's a really smart guy. He used to write for Muscular Development. He actually extracted follistatin from eggs and put it into a supplement. It's kind of like a granulated, you know, it's kind of like a granulated. It kind of reminds me of a sweet tasting lecithin, but neither here nor there. It seems to work pretty well when stacked. So I went out and bought a bunch of it. I don't think they make it anymore, but you can still get some on eBay and whatnot. But I went out. I had a friend that worked at GNC, and she's like, hey, we're discontinuing this. I'm like, well, buy every single one that you have because I want to try this for a, you know, 6 month, you know, test, see what happens. And I think it really does work. I think it works quite well. Like I said, follistatin is only one aspect of myostatin inhibition, but I think it's important to help reduce myostatin levels with follistatin. Yeah. So this MyoX is a good product, and you know, it seems like it worked pretty well, and it was a very innovative thing to do. It just, again, didn't have the effect that people were hoping for. And so, you know, if you don't see that kind of immediate effect, you know, many people just lose interest, right? No one expects they're going to have to use a supplement for 3 to 6 months to see the effect.
Sure.
But Scott, what I'm trying to explain about this, though, is if you use it for three to six months, you could be potentially adding more muscle mass for life. That's a pretty cool effect, right? That's worth it to me.
I'll take that, no question.
So, you know, as opposed to building and losing and building and losing and building and losing, you're on vacation and you're down 17 pounds, you know, versus, you know, I'm telling you, it definitely has worked. I literally, if I stop working out, yeah, I lose mass like everyone else. I go to the gym for 3 days and bam, it's all back.
Yeah.
It's insane how quickly it comes back. I don't really want to get big anymore. So, you know, I don't really care at this point. I don't, you know, I'm not really, you know, it's not a high priority. I'm doing other things, but this MyoX is a pretty neat product. And so again, kind of expensive though. So probably the last thing you'd want to add, on the gray market, if you will, right, there's follistatin peptides. So you could add that in if that's something that you wish to do. And I'm not promoting that, of course, because that is illegal, but you know, we're all adults. We know that's what people are doing. We're not stupid, right? I don't think anyone's testing these peptides on their, you know, on their cat.
right.
So neither here nor there. Follistatin is being sold, but again, I haven't heard a lot of positives on it, and it's pretty damn expensive. So, you know, I mean, last I saw it was like $150 for, you know, for a vial of the follistatin. I think it was one milligram actually. So it might have been two, but neither here nor there. It's very expensive. So I would say probably one of the worst things to take would be follistatin peptides. Just didn't do what it was supposed to do. And then finally, ASARM, YK11, probably a little hard to find now, but YK11 is a natural reducer of myostatin, probably very effective because it hangs around so long. So the thing about SARMs is versus supplements, things that are drugs, the difference there is drugs are meant to stay in your body a very long time. That's also why they have all the negative side effects that supplements don't have. But YK11 is a natural myostatin inhibitor, seems to work pretty well. I would say it's a product that should be dosed at a fairly low amount. I would not go above 20 milligrams personally, but it certainly looks like it works quite well at reducing myostatin, and, you know, stacked with anabolics or something like that, it might be a pretty good system for increasing muscle mass long term.
Okay, cool. Cool.
And then one last thing I'll go through, you know, one last that I'll talk about, is the, I think I told you about this one, the phenylephrine. So that's a decongestant that you can get
at
the dollar store, right? So when I did this, I read the article about phenylephrine, and, you know, they have a 10 pack at the dollar store. They don't really tell you what kind of dose to take, but, you know, I was taking like 30 or 40 milligrams a day. It inhibits myostatin as well. It's cheap. I figured, what the hell? I mean, you know, we might as well try it out and see if it does anything. And, you know, again, I mean, I'm looking for the overall effect, not necessarily the, you know, what one supplement does in particular. This obviously is a drug. That's not how you're supposed to take it, so I'm not recommending that you do. But it is, you know, food for thought that phenylephrine will inhibit myostatin.
Nice. Well, this gives us a lot of options, a lot of things to draw from. And, you know, I won't be surprised if we have some of the listeners pulling together a number of these supplements and giving it a try. I mean, realistically, with the amount of money that we invest into the sport. And here's the thing, too. you know, say you use the creatine for 6 months in itself. I mean, you, even if you don't get a myostatin effect, I mean, you're still getting creatine out of the deal. Yeah. You know, if you're using sulforaphane, you're not just, you know, getting the potential effect that is going to affect myostatin, but you're also getting sulforaphane, which is a great, you know, anti-cancer, you know, compound. So there's going to be a lot of benefits to all of these supplements that are going to, you know, be more than just outside of what we're talking about here today. So I could see there being a lot of benefits to this.
Yeah. So one, I will talk just real briefly about some of the side effects, because there, you know, nothing comes for free. Myostatin has been shown, when it's reduced, to weaken the tendons. So that is definitely something to think about, especially if you're lifting heavy. And this is kind of interesting, because it's something to be thinking about. But you know, you can, you know, if you already have weak tendons, it can cause a problem with that. And you know, we don't want that to happen. What I would take is something like Sisus, which has been shown to strengthen tendons. I don't know, Citrus quadrilateris. That's how you say it. It's an herb. Very good. It was in the, I don't remember which one, but it was in one of the, you know, products, the, you know, who's the guys that, make Jacked, USP Labs. So it was in the USP lab, one of their USP Labs product. It was it's a great herb for reducing injuries and things like that. Seems to also be somewhat of an anabolic for building muscle. So it's really good. The other thing that I've noticed long-term from this is it did make me weaker. Which you're probably wondering why. All right, Eric, that doesn't make any sense. You're building more muscle. Why would you be weaker? Here's why I think that you're becoming slightly weaker is that you're creating more fast twitch muscles with myostatin inhibition than slow twitch.
Okay.
And so what that's going to mean is you're going to be able to, you know, do a lot more cardio, but you won't be able to lift as heavy. So it's something definitely to think about, because while, you know, you look big, if you're a power lifter, myostatin probably is not for you. You know, they are lifting tons of weight, you know, so tendon weakness, things like that, just a terrible idea, right? And they don't want fast twitch. They want all slow twitch. Okay. So, you know, you can counteract that by changing your workouts, by, you know, more time under tension, a lot slower, more negatives, those kinds of things will help increase your slow twitch fibers versus fast twitch. But, you know, that makes some sense if you look at, you know, how myostatin would work is that some, you know, for some reason you're getting preferential, you know, it's not a one, you know, it's not 1-to-1. So you're not getting slower or fast. You're getting more fast switch. So you might get like a 2-to-1. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there, but more fast switch to slow twitch, which just something to think about. So your strength may actually go down on myostatin. Depends if that's important to you or not. If you're a bodybuilder, who cares, right? Less weight other than your ego is probably good for you.
Right, right.
But if you're a power lifter, not the best thing in the world to use.
Okay. Well, definitely something to look out for. Before we go, is there anything else that that we should mention? We're running a little long on time here.
Nope, that's it. I'm good.
All right. Well, great. If you guys want to check this out, Eric has been putting together articles over at the Mind and Muscle website to go along with these educational segments that he's been doing here at Advices. So we will be sure to put that link up when the episode comes out. You can see that in the show notes or at the Facebook page for Advices Radio. There'll be a link there, or on my personal Facebook page, I'll make a link. We won't have that link on the Instagram page, and that's just because we can't easily do links there. So, Eric, thanks for your time, man, and thanks for coming on and educating us and sharing all this great information, because I think that a lot of these supplements could be beneficial for people, hopefully for myostatin, and definitely, hey, worst case, you're still getting a lot of benefits in other directions, too.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. For Eric Markowitz, Scott McNally, we will see you soon. All right, guys, up next, Ryan Muzel and Dieting on the Cheap. The world began to ring, lost like a bell that's tipping over, with two cracks along both sides. And I knew the world was over, so I took a look outside and watched the fires. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally, and with me today is Ryan Muzel. He is the owner of Golden Era Fitness, which is a clothing company online. We've got some really cool stuff, but we are going to talk about that today. But the reason that I have Ryan on is he came up with this really cool little package that he's been kind of just sending out to people for free. And this is information about basically dieting on the cheap. Ryan, first of all, thank you for being with us. And second of all, how much does it cost per day to eat on this plan?
Hey, Scott. Yeah, thanks for having me. And so $10 a day, you know, that's all you need to get, you know, have a good bodybuilding diet. And a lot of people think a bodybuilding's got to be expensive. They see eating 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day while you're at work. And they're like, how much do you spend on groceries? But really, it's not that expensive.
That's crazy, man. Because I mean, you know what? I've gotten picky as I've continued to train, and I've started just like saying, I'll eat this, you know, more expensive this, more expensive, organic this, organic that. And sometimes, man, I spend a lot of money on food, but it's easy to forget that, you know, what your budget is. It's easy to spend a lot of money, especially like you said, when you're eating, you know, 6 times a day. I thought that this would be great to bring you on to kind of get back to basics and get back to the foundation. We talk to a lot of people that that will express all the reasons why we need to eat all these, like, you know, extras here and there, take all these expensive supplements, right, you know, through the day. But that's going to kind of, I think, damper a lot of younger guys that are listening to these shows from being able to put a program together that they feel confident in. And I think I mean, your message here mainly is that you really don't have to do all that bells and whistles stuff, do you?
You really don't. It can help, we know. Right. But, you know, the basics are the basics, and that's what you need to build your foundation on. You need to get a right amount of protein, carbs, and fat in per day, and it doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to do, you know, gluten-free, GMO-free, you know, all these other things. You can buy the $2 a pound chicken, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this is a really important message, because I think that a lot of guys do get overwhelmed when they start thinking about all this stuff. I mean, you know, we all have a lot of respect for guys like Evan Santapani. He actually did a video about prepping food on the cheap, but at the same time, he's also, you know, grabbing these crazy, you know, fillets and salmon and everything else that's like super organic and expensive. I've done it cheap myself though. And I take it you are too. How did you come across this plan? What made you think to put this together?
Well, I was actually it started with me like trying to just put together a budget for just myself. And I started with my diet. And once I started, I put in the Excel spreadsheet. I was just kind of bored and I didn't stop. And I ended up with this pretty cool spreadsheet we got sitting in front of us. But I posted on Instagram just thinking a couple people would find it cool. And I got an overwhelming response. I got over 200 DMs,
wow,
you know, asking about it.
Yeah.
So obviously there's people out there who want to learn more. They think it's expensive or else they wouldn't be messaging me. So, I think it'd be a good thing to talk about.
I think this is a great idea, man. And I think that if we can share this info with some of the newer guys, they might be able to save a couple bucks and maximize things, as well as, you know, put their money where it belongs. You know, we had a chat before we recorded, and you know, you mentioned people are taking these fancy, you know, supplements, things like you know, test boosters and this and that.
Right.
I mean, you could spend $50 a month just on something like that that you don't even need. You know, and that's going to break down into, you know, adding up into, you know, your daily totals, your weekly totals. So $10 a day, can you give us some ideas of what these foods are that you're going to start with? And this is going to be really basic, I know, but I think that there's going to be a few guys out there that could benefit from this.
Right. So if you're thinking basic, you got to think, you're thinking rice. That's pretty much what you're going to build your carbs around. It's the cheapest food out there. I mean, you can get a 20-pound bag for $20. Protein, you probably want to stick to chicken, canned tuna, or whey isolate. And a little trick on the whey isolate. So we all know to buy in bulk.
Yes.
But then there's buying in bulk, and then there's buying in bulk.
What's the difference there then? I know you're going to tell us.
Right. So you can buy like your 10-pound bag at Costco or whatever.
Okay.
And spend that much money. But you can actually buy a 44-pound bag of whey isolate, 90% clean, for $200. And it comes out to something like, $4 a pound or something.
Really?
I mean, it's really cheap.
How does this taste?
So it comes in like a dog food bag.
Okay.
It's straight from the factory and it's unflavored. So this is pretty much the people who sell you protein. This is pretty much how they're buying their protein. And then they flavor it, package it, and sell it back to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do with it from there? Do you just drink this straight unflavored or what?
You can. It doesn't taste very well. I mix mine with milk, peanut butter, egg whites, and if you want a flavor, you can put like some cocoa, just cocoa powder in there.
Okay, so what you're telling me out the gate here is it sounds like you're A, thinking outside of the box, and
right.
B, you're going to have to be creative.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, maybe what I'm already starting to see is that what we're paying for is convenience, and what we're paying for is how can I put it, man? I mean, it's a higher quality tasting product. I mean, we're paying for a luxury, I guess. You know, that's really what it comes out to, is something that tastes delicious. But I guess at the end of the day, if you really wanted to make progress and you don't have a lot of money, you could drink it without adding anything to it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you really wanted it, in our sport, things don't have to taste good.
But absolutely. I mean, how many of us have, you know, drank egg whites out of the carton, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I think that that's definitely something that people have to get over. It does take, though, I think, an added level of commitment to do that, you know? I feel like when I was younger, most of the supplements we had out on the market didn't taste good. I mean, when I started training 14, 15 years old, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, nothing tasted good. You had to choke down every supplement there was. But people today have maybe gotten a little bit spoiled. How old are you, Ryan?
I'm just turned 31.
Okay, so you grew up in this era where everything has probably tasted pretty decent since you started training. How have you gotten over that?
It's been hard because I'm a true nutrition guy, so going away from the chocolate fudge, and we'll still order it from time to time, but you know, really, would you just, if you treat the food like a fuel and stop thinking about it like a reward system for taste,
yeah,
I mean, it's really easy. So,
and I guess it sounds like I think another aspect of that is just focusing on your goals. Like you said, a reward system, the food isn't about having pleasure. The food is about reaching your goal. And the real reward is continuing to do what you need to do to reach your physique goals. Right.
Right. And that's going to taste so much better than the food itself.
I like that. Where do you pick up some protein like this?
So, the only place I've found is a place called bulksupplements.com. I'm not sponsored by them or endorse them, but they're the, besides, you know, becoming a vendor for some of these factories, that's the only place I've found that you can get such a large quantity for that cheap.
Okay. And you said that that comes out to what, $4 a pound?
Let's see. Something like that. It's ballpark. Really cheap.
Ballpark. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's in many cases, and this is for an isolate or is it a concentrate?
It is a pure isolate.
Wow. That's a hell of a deal for, especially for an isolate then. Isolate tends to be, you know, one of the more expensive proteins on the market. And you actually, if you go to a retail store, I would see people paying twice that much for something that has concentrate mixed into it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're going to like a grocery store.
Yeah.
All the proteins there are going to be a blend.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What's next on our list? You know, I think that proteins are probably our most important part of the plan. So we've got our whey isolate. You mentioned, chicken breast. You've got the $1.99 chicken breast per pound. That's available. Right. Any other, protein options that you can add to our list?
I mean, I stick to chicken cause it's just so easy to prep. But, I don't know what, I guess you could do tuna.
Okay. Yeah.
Canned tuna.
Yeah. I've done canned tuna. That's, it's not fun repeatedly meal after meal, but it works.
Yeah. Is there any others that you've done?
Let's see. I think you've got another one on the list. Egg whites. Is that on your list?
Egg whites. Okay. I mix those in with my shakes. I think a lot of us use egg whites. Some of us cook them, but they're, if you get them in bulk at Costco, they're actually, you know, pretty cheap.
Yeah, they are. There's still a little bit more. Are you talking about buying the packaged, prepackaged, like liquid egg white, or are you talking about cracking your own?
Right. Yeah. The liquid egg whites.
Okay. Yeah. I found, for me at least, I thought I don't have a Costco membership, but I found it was more expensive for me to buy that versus crack my own eggs. Cause I could get, you know, a dozen eggs for at times 79 cents and, you know, each egg white is going to be 4 grams of protein. And yeah, it does take a little bit more work to crack your own. And they're not, you know, all pasteurized, homogenized and liquefied the way the stuff in the box is. But you know what? You still got the protein in there. And I guess, you know, like what we're talking about at the end of the day, that's an important one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're not using it in a shake, I mean, that would probably be the way to go.
Now, I'm looking at your daily food cost calculator here, and this is one of the files that you had put together and that you were sharing with people, or you are sharing with people that have been DMing you on social media. Also, what's your username over there at Instagram in case anybody wants to look you up?
Yeah, so the company name is goldenera.fitness.
Okay.
And my username is goldenera.ryan.
Okay, cool. So if anybody wants to get a hold of Ryan and actually get this daily food cost calculator yourself so you could see it for, you know, your own eyes, I'm sure Ryan would be happy to send that to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking at this, though, and you've got the liquid egg whites. So 46 grams for a serving. This comes out to $1.50. So is this meaning $1.50? That's your daily cost if you use 46 grams?
So I'm using 10 servings of 46 grams because I use a whole carton a day.
Oh, okay.
Of the liquid egg whites. So,
okay.
It does a little calculation in there and then it spits out your daily cost.
I see. So, you're getting 10 servings and that comes out to $1.50.
Yeah. And that and the chicken are pretty much your proteins are always going to be your most expensive foods.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Moving on next then to carbs. Carbs, you know, are probably the opposite. They're going to be your least expensive. What are you suggesting for carbs? And I know that this is where things get easier, right? Because in general, carbs are going to be cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, rice and oats. I mean, pretty much that's the standard. And it also happens to be the cheapest carbs you can get out there.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, what's your take on brown rice versus white rice?
I'm a bigger fan of white rice now. Specifically, I like jasmine rice. And that's been the direction I've gone for the last couple of years. I had talked to Shelby Starnes, actually. He said he uses white rice with his people, and that's due to an anti-nutrient in brown rice known as phytic acid, which can interfere with the uptake of protein. So for that reason, I moved to white rice for every meal with people, and I have people diet into shows using, you know, specifically jasmine rice, and I haven't seen any issues whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people, they get stuck in these healthy foods. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, white rice, but I heard brown rice is healthy.
Yeah.
And it's really just, it really makes very little difference, first off. And then, like you said, if there's, you know, some science behind it now too. I've always felt like I get a better response with white rice, especially if I'm eating it before or after a workout.
Okay.
And it just tastes better, really.
So you've intuitively gone that direction yourself. You don't like brown rice?
Not as much as white rice. But okay. Really, it's just, I mean, I really don't think it matters that much.
Yeah.
So I think people, sometimes they get caught up. You know, they grew up thinking certain foods are healthy. That's how they eat, right? They don't eat by, you know, amounts and grams and macros. They eat by what they've been told is healthy.
Yeah.
So they've been told yogurt's healthy. So they eat like fruit on the bottom, Yoplait. They've been told, you know, juice is healthy. When really it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I've heard so many times people are wondering, you know, they want to diet down. Mm-hmm. And they ask, well, why isn't there any fruit in my diet? You know,
yeah.
And, or guys that are non-competitors that don't know much about what we're doing. And mm-hmm. they say, well, can I drink juice, you know, in the morning? And yeah, they don't mm-hmm. get it. The sugars that are in all that stuff. You know, and I want to say too, I didn't mention this at the beginning. I personally I've had to diet on the cheap as well. You know, you and I had talked a little bit, but I'll tell the audience, I had gotten laid off from my job during my first contest prep. And so I was dieting for a show and my company went out of business and they laid me off and I continued to diet. And sadly what happened was, they cut my hours back for a long time. And so I hung in there and I did less and less hours. So by the time I was actually laid off, my weekly paycheck was so low that I was making next to nothing from unemployment.
Wow.
I ended up, I think I collected $385 every 2 weeks, and I had an apartment in Plymouth that I was splitting rent with my girlfriend, and we had our utilities to pay. And I remember that our rent was, it was $500, but I began doing all our snow removal and stuff like that mm-hmm. for the apartment. And so she knocked $50 off the rent. So my rent was $225 per month plus splitting utilities. And I still managed to get all the food in that I needed and managed to put my best physique to date together at that time. Wow. You know, doing that for several months. Probably on a budget of a couple hundred dollars a month for food tops, you know, it was tough, but if you really want it, you can do it. So you mentioned oats, and mm-hmm. you mentioned rice. Is there any other carbs that you would throw into this? Because I think that there's probably other options, but these are the two staples. Is there any yeah. others that you put in there?
These are the two easy ones. If you want to take like a carb during your workout, I mean, you could use like a Gatorade powder or something like that. But those are the two I would stick to.
Okay. Okay.
What did you, so Scott, what did you eat when you're on that diet?
Man, my diet looked pretty close to yours here. It was pretty close. I cracked my egg whites mm-hmm. versus buying the liquid egg whites. I ate a lot of tuna fish. You know, mm-hmm. when it comes to carbs, those carbs are cheap. So, you know, I could do the, and also too, I think it depends on where you shop because,
right.
you know, if you go to one grocery store, you might find egg whites for $3.69 for a container, you know?
Right.
And like you said, if you go to Costco, you might get that for $1.50. So mm-hmm. it was about being frugal. I also looked for sales. So I'd catch things that were on sale. I would buy the off brands. And yeah. You know, I would sometimes, you know, sacrifice taste and flavor in order to get in what I needed. And you could still make good tasting food with cheaper quality products. You know, it's not as if you can't, mm-hmm. there's a way to prepare, you know, a tougher steak, you know, there's a way that you can make, you know, any type of chicken breast, be it organic or non-organic, tastes really good. It's just going to take some time and some love and some care into it. I think that that's a big aspect here. I think that a lot of the guys that are getting into this that are young, that don't have the money, they don't know how to prepare foods. And so they end up just, you know, whatever, throwing the chicken in a pan, baking it, mm-hmm. probably overcooking it. And then it ends yep. up dry, you know. I mean, you gotta practice this stuff. Just like, you know, we're lifting weights in the gym. You don't go in and bench 315 the first time you bench. You practice and you get better at it. And you know, this, if you want to be good at bodybuilding, you gotta be good at eating. And if you want to be good right. at eating, you gotta make your food at least taste palatable. So I'm all for what we're talking about when it comes to, you know, really really having to focus on eating for your goal versus eating mm-hmm. for reward or satisfaction. At the same time, that doesn't mean you need to leave that out, guys. I think you can still, sure. you know, spend a buck on some spices that are going to last you for the next month and a half. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Right. Yeah, and I just want to throw this in there. My roommate just turned me on to the Instapot.
What's that?
So it's a pressure cooker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Instapot. So I threw in my 5 pounds of chicken, and I had a bunch of different spices, you know, curry powder and some salt and some other spices. And I put a little bit of Splenda in there, and then you put the top on, and then it comes up to pressure and it cooks it under, you know, high heat, high pressure.
Yeah.
And it cooked 5 pounds of chicken in 30 minutes.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's been the best. I mean, I had it for breakfast today. It's been the best chicken I've ever cooked.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding, man.
Beats crock pot chicken. Huh. Beats barbecue chicken.
Huh. And
yeah, so definitely check that out.
Yeah, that is a great idea. And you mentioned the crock pot. I think that's another good option. Mm-hmm. When I used to have to get up at like 5 a.m. and head out for my day, I'd be on the road working for one of the soda companies, traveling from store to store with deliveries and displays and stuff. I'd have to, you know, have all my food prepared and taken with me in a cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I would put it all my chicken in the crock pot the night before. You could even put your yep. potatoes in there. And yep. you wake up the next morning and all that stuff is ready to go. You know, you wake up and it smells like Thanksgiving dinner all of a sudden. You know, yeah. It's a weird thing, but it works.
They just scoop it in your containers and put it in your cooler and you're out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what we're talking about here is preparation, right?
Yeah. I do the same thing.
Hey, you got to be prepared. I have people that come to me and they say, hey, you know, I ran into the situation and I went off my diet here. And the reason they went off is either they just didn't want to eat their food, or mm-hmm. if they legitimately got stuck, it's because they weren't prepared. Right.
Right. Yeah, you gotta plan ahead, you know, and you gotta be prepared.
So moving on, we got one more macronutrient to focus on here, and that's fats. Are you adding any fats into the day? I'm not sure I see any. I'm looking down the list here.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a lower fat diet. I mean, there's peanut butter in there, then there's fish oil. I put that in there.
Okay, I see those two now. Yeah, yeah.
And then your trace fats from your chicken breast, I guess, would be the only three. But yeah, this is like a lower fat diet because, you know, I'm injured right now, so I'm not really lifting too heavy, so okay. I don't need too many extra calories.
You had a tear, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a full bicep tendon tear.
Whew. And you've had that repaired now, right?
Yeah, so I knew right away when it happened. I did it at work, and first off, you can feel your tendon when it snaps.
Yeah,
it kind of wiggles, right? Because it's so taut, and then when it snaps, I felt it wiggle, rip up my arm.
Yeah,
but I saw my bicep move about an inch towards my shoulder.
Oh, good God!
And it didn't hurt. It's just a clean rip right off the bone.
Mm.
Went straight to the doctor and had emergency surgery 5 days later. So when you rip a tendon, you want to get it checked out. Because if you wait too long, that tendon can dry up and kind of shrivel up and shrink farther and farther back.
Sure.
And it's harder for the doctor to pull it back out. So I had that repaired and it actually feels pretty good. Trained yesterday for the first time.
Nice. Nice.
Just nothing crazy like, you know, 10 pound curls. I'm a little sore today, but
yeah,
I think by December I should be back at it.
Nice. So back to fats, mm-hmm. You've got your natural peanut butter. I picked that up at, we have here in Michigan, you're here in Michigan too. We have Kroger mm-hmm. and they have natural peanut butter on sale at times for like $1.50 a jar. And I'm seeing here, this is probably,
wow.
Yeah, this is probably a little bit more expensive, still probably yeah. regular price, but nonetheless, you're spending 24 cents a day for one serving, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have different prices, different stores, different countries, different states, but generally, you know, what's cheap here is going to be, you know, cost effective somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. And that's definitely going to be, you know, right up there. I mean, fats can get kind of expensive if you start getting into things like macadamia nut oil.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be an initial big investment if you're buying a bottle of that. I mean, even olive oil can be expensive, but you can find some cheaper olive oil too if you shop around. You know, that's one that if you look around, there's usually an abundance of it, and I'll see stores that put good olive oil on closeout. So if you look around, you might be able to find something else. And that's to say, maybe that's not going to always be in your diet. That's one thing. I'll tell you what, Ryan, that's one thing I remember when I was dieting on a budget, I didn't always know what I was going to use. I would think creatively while I was at the store. I would do things like look at the closeout section and I may find something I never planned on using, but it seemed to fit very well. And hey, I got it for, you know, 90% off.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you could do that. You could get coupons. You can, yeah. I mean, the internet's your friend. You want to always price check things because sometimes you can get like, when I had macadamia nut oil in my diet, when I went on Amazon, I bought 3 bottles at once. I got like, you know, like a $10 discount.
Nice.
But yeah, you want to look for those closeout items. Sometimes you get stuff cheaper locally.
Yeah.
If they're trying to get rid of it, then you can on the internet.
Exactly. And then the other fat that you have in here is fish oil. And it looks like you're taking 4 grams a day. You're getting that from what, Costco?
Costco, Amazon. I mean, fish oil's come down in price a lot in the last 10 years. You can get it for pretty cheap.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad at all, man. So I think this covers all the main macros. And then from there, vegetable wise, what do you have on in store for us?
Yeah, I mean, you can do fresh vegetables. I like, because I work all day.
Yeah.
I like to do those little steamed bags, you know, and then you can just throw them in the microwave for 5 minutes. I'll eat that with lunch.
Is that like a frozen vegetable or what?
Yeah, it's just like a frozen broccoli. Sometimes I do green beans. It's usually like a dollar a bag.
Okay.
So it's not too bad.
And that's already like pre-cut up and everything?
Yeah, pre-cut up, washed, and ready to eat. You just got to steam it.
Oh, that's easy too.
Yeah. It's already, you know, it's already prepped for you.
Yeah, for all you young guys out there that don't want to prepare all your food, there's a solution for you. Just buy these steam bags. I'll have to take a look at those. I usually always get the fresh stuff. And, you know, back to the crock pot that we were talking about earlier, I would throw my broccoli right in there too. And so I'd have.
Would you do that right in the beginning?
Yeah, if I did, if I had to do it overnight, you know, I mean, it's probably going to kill some nutrients in there, but I'm probably still going to get some fiber. And I'm also, you know, going to fill my stomach up more. So if I wouldn't have a choice if I put the crock pot to 8 hours and then I turned it on, you know, a couple hours before I went to bed, you know, I'd have to throw the broccoli in there pretty early. And yeah, it might not be ideal, like I said, nutrient wise, but you're still getting the fiber and, you know, it's still going to be, you know, somewhat beneficial for you.
Yeah. I'll have to try that.
Yeah, I would, if you could, if you're going to do this and you had the opportunity to throw the broccoli in toward the end, that might not be a bad idea. Because I know that if you overcook vegetables, then you can destroy, you know, the vitamins that are in them.
Right. Yeah, the crock pot on low heat, it might be okay.
You're right. You know what? You might be right on that.
But there's a high heat setting, and that probably would not be good.
Yeah. So outside of that, supplement wise, I think fish oil falls into a fat and it also falls into being a supplement. What other supplements do you have in your $10 a day food calculator plan?
Well, I have multivitamin in there.
Okay. Any one in particular you suggest?
I mean, I use Beverly International.
Okay.
I like their multivitamin. I like to use the packs because it's just less stuff you have to worry about. A lot of people get too caught up, you know, I got to take this or how much of this or that.
Yeah.
And end up getting so frustrated that they don't take any of it or they don't. So, but yeah. That's the one I use. And then other supplements.
Yeah, what else do you have in here? I see Gatorade powder.
Yeah, we got Gatorade. Like we talked about earlier, that's like a good intra-workout. Instead of buying the expensive intra-workout, you could just have something like Gatorade or juice or something in there during your workout, give you a little extra energy.
Yeah, and that's going to be, I think Gatorade powder is going to be a pure dextrose, right? So that's going to be, you know, more beneficial than say just drink something with sugar in it, basic sugar. So that's a cheap option. You know what else they have that's pretty good? Now Foods makes a dextrose powder, and you could just get that straight if you wanted to, and mix that with like an EAA or something like that if you wanted to do an intra workout that way. You know, that would work as well. I want to say that stuff is about $5 a pound, so it's about as cheap as it gets. You know.
Yeah, that's. You know, way cheaper than Gatorade powder. So,
and then
not bad.
From there, you got your test listed on here too. 400 milligrams every week, and it looks like so that comes out to for you $1.16 a day from your doctor. That is
right. So, that's not what I'm currently on. But this, when I wrote the plan, you know, I wanted to have this plan include everything.
Okay.
And it's like, well, what about supplements? Well, if you're looking to get big and you don't have a lot of money, I mean, that's going to be your go-to supplement.
Okay, yeah.
And it is not expensive, guys.
No,
so.
No. We could probably do a whole segment just on cheap gear, right?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, you could throw some D-ball in with that for next to nothing. I mean, D-ball is very inexpensive. So, I mean, you could put a bulking plan together there pretty handily without adding too much more cost to your plan.
Yeah, easily. A couple $100 and you're good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You're good for 10 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would say, hey, this should be on the plan. But honestly, you know, I'm not I'm not thinking of anything. I mean, I can tell you at the opposite end of the spectrum, yeah, you get into the organic stuff, that's, those things are all going to be more expensive, and you may get some benefits from those foods, but then again, you may not.
Right.
Beef is going to be another one. Beef, I think, is probably, it's got to be the most expensive meat in the store on average, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, even, I mean, even hamburger, you know, gets expensive once you get into like the lean hamburger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to say that I pay maybe $6.99 a pound for the stuff that I'm using. And, right. You know, once you cook that down, even if it's lean burger, you're, you know, you're going to lose some of it. Mm-hmm. You're not getting a whole pound, after that's cooked off. So, yeah. Yeah, just, I'm trying to think if there's a, is there anything else we're missing here? I mean, I think one of the points you made too is frozen vegetables are usually a little bit less expensive than the fresh vegetables, but right. also I think something that we should note for our listeners, they are healthier for you than the canned vegetables, because the canned vegetables, the frozen vegetables are flash frozen, mm-hmm. and therefore they preserve the nutrients a lot better than the canned vegetables do, from what I understand. So
it's, yeah, I think I've heard that as well.
Yeah, so nutritionally, you know, the frozen vegetables will be fairly similar to what you get from the fresh. I could think of, you know, we could add potatoes to this. Sweet potatoes get a little bit more costly, so I could see why you leave that off the list. Same with red potatoes.
Right, and it, the only other thing I might add to this generic basic diet would be maybe like a, like a Metamucil, just to make sure you're getting all your fiber in. But we got oats and broccoli in there, so should be pretty good.
Yeah, you're getting a decent amount of fiber from those things. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you though. I think that adding in a sugar-free, especially Metamucil, would be a good idea. And hell, that's another thing that if you look around, eventually you'll find that stuff on sale.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, once again, too, it's gonna vary depending on where you go. I've gone into the local drugstore like CVS or Walgreens, and I've seen a small jar of it for, you know, $20. And then I've gone mm-hmm. to Walmart and seen the same thing for half that price.
Yeah, and it's generally not too expensive, because what is it, just like a corn husk?
Yeah, it's a psyllium husk. And, mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, some type of a flavoring system usually added to it. And in the case of Metamucil, but you could just get a raw psyllium husk. And I'm sure that if you really wanted to, you could probably just get that online too for cheap.
You probably could.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the options are endless, really. You just got to be creative, and it helps to write it out. And the worst thing you can do is just start buying stuff, because the industry, the market, the stores, they're designed to make margins on you, make profits on you. So you got to really, you want to buy in bulk, you want to plan ahead, and you want to, you know, think outside the box.
I like that. This is good stuff, man. I guess the only other thing I might consider adding, and this would be if I were in an off season, would be beans, because beans are very inexpensive too.
Yes.
You could mix that with the rice. You could, you know, you can get a complete protein out of it. Plus you're getting your carbs.
You could, yep. You get the big bag of beans and you soak them overnight.
Yeah,
and, absolutely.
That'd be another cheap route. While I got you, tell me a little bit about Golden Era Fitness.
Yeah, so Golden Era Fitness, we've been around a while. It started off as just like a motivational page about classic bodybuilding.
Okay.
And then, you know, recently I've kind of branched off and I've started making some, because I realized no one makes like 70s era clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a, bodybuilding's already a niche. Classic 70s era bodybuilding's like a niche of a niche. But, so I've been coming out with different things. We got track suits. We got some old school shirts. We got the Arnold is Numero Uno shirt. And
I love that. That's great.
They fit, you know, they fit really good. They're like tight fitting. Yeah. Ringer tees. They're not like your oversized Gildan shirts that you might get off eBay.
Yeah.
And then recently we just came out with some shorts, and everyone's been really happy with them. I get, you know, I get messages every day. So they're French terry cotton. I had them custom made. So it took me a while to get them made, but they have, you know, fabric stripes down the sides. They're tight fitting. They're short. I think, you know, 1975 like fashion. So it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, you really got to have a nice set of legs to pull these off.
Yeah, which, but you do. You're. I was looking at the website. You're the model for the shorts on the page.
Yeah. Yeah, as luck would have it, so I tore my bicep.
Yeah.
And so I can only work out legs. Okay. And I was like, now's the time to come out with the shorts.
Right, right. So, that's a good plan, man.
Worked out good.
You got those in what, four? I'm looking at a tan, a red. You've got a yellow and a blue. So you've got these in four different colors. You've got fanny packs for $10.99.
Yeah, we got,
everybody needs a fanny pack now. That's what I
got. You
got to
have a fanny pack. You got to be able to. I got waist trainers on there. I got hats. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes we just need a little extra motivation. Sometimes buying some new clothing or something to wear to the gym can help out.
Yeah.
And some of the, you know, the tan shorts, I think, are pretty much, they're almost sold out.
Okay.
Red's getting low. But I'll have to get some more. And keep a lookout in the future. I plan on releasing some more stuff.
And you were telling me, too, before the show, so the shorts are a new item, and they're a hit. You actually had you're not just buying this stuff. Like, you had this made, right?
Yeah, I worked with a designer overseas, and I, you know, gave them the dimensions, and they send me a sample, and I go, okay, well, this is too long, or I need it like this, or so pretty much. Yeah, you're not going to find these shorts anywhere else. I'm not just drop shipping them with my logo on them.
Yeah.
And I'm not charging exorbitant amounts of money.
Yeah.
Just enough to cover like the cost and everything. And you know, everyone's been really happy about them, you know, especially over at Golden, at the Instagram page, Golden Air Fitness.
Yeah.
We're a community there. So I share a lot of the guys' posts, and we talk in the comments about different things. So it's really cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I love what you're doing. I feel like this is a growing market too. You know, I feel like, especially with classic physique and a lot of guys are starting to really really delve into the throwback look.
Yeah,
I can see that you're onto something here, man. You've got some sweet track suits too. I know VJ has one of those.
Yeah, VJ's got a track suit. He was one of the first people to order one. Yeah, classics get more popular every year. People are really honing in, and we're starting to see some crazy physiques come out in that category. But yeah, I like to think that we're kind of the reason. Not me, but everyone on the internet was kind of the reason they created the classic physique division, you know. But that's a whole nother discussion.
Everybody's kind of interested in going in that direction. You think that maybe the NPC IFBB kind of read into that a little bit?
And yeah, I think they heard a lot of people are like, well, I love bodybuilding, but, you know, they're too big, or I like how they look, but I don't have the means or the drive to get like that. I want to look like Arnold. I want to look like Frank Zane.
Yeah.
I think they heard that enough times that finally they're like, okay, let's put together a classic division. And I think it's been pretty popular.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether I'm not sure which came first, but either way, you know, people are really starting to catch on to it. And I think that from what I've seen, at least, it's been even bigger than the bodybuilding divisions are at a lot of the shows, including the big ones.
Right.
So what's the URL for the company?
So it's goldenerafitnesscompany.com.
Okay.
Or you could probably just Google Golden Era Fitness and it'll probably come up.
All right.
Or you can click on the link in my Instagram bio at goldenera.fitness.
And once again, what's your Instagram?
And I am goldenera.ryan.
Okay. So you're goldenera.ryan, and there's going to be a separate account specifically for Golden Era Fitness, correct?
Right. And if anyone is interested in this Excel spreadsheet or this $10 day diet, they can send me a DM or an email. I'm happy to share it for free.
Right on. Well, that's really cool, man. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing this information. I think that, like I said, there's a lot of young guys out there that need some of this basic information, and I'm glad to have you on to share that with us.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Scott. I think we had a good conversation.
All right, guys, for another episode of Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Ryan Muzel of Golden Era Fitness. We will see you soon. All right, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Advices Radio. We are back into the swing of things, and you will hear more of the program and a bunch of other stuff. Continue listening. AdvicesRadio.com. Close your eyes, girl. So lovely. It feels so right. I want to hold you close. Some breath, beating hard. As I whisper in your ear, I want to tear you apart. Advices Radio.